Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, and with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Amen.
Thank you, Gary. Before I introduce our speaker this morning, just a few words about this text that we just read. We often talk about being saved and having a personal relationship with Christ and focus on all the things that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit do for us. And that's where we have to get started, because salvation is of the Lord. God is not your co-pilot. He's your pilot, or you're in big trouble. So getting beyond that, we have to grow into the fact that our salvation, our relationship with Christ, is called a vocation or a calling. That's right. Just like you have a profession in the world, you work and make money. Coming to Christ, you've been enlisted to be in his army. You are called to be one of his workers, like he has a farm. There's different pictures in Scripture of this. But we need to understand that we have a job to do. And we're told here, verse 1, to walk worthy of that calling. And verses 2 and 3, the worthy is described in terms of character and the inner man. It isn't just about developing skills. It's about things like humility and love and patience and unity for Christ's sake. But then as the passage moves along, we also see a gifting. See, when the Lord calls you to something, he also equips you to something. He doesn't just say, go figure it out. He's saying, come. We'll do this together. And so he gives gifts. We see that in verse 7. Unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Do you remember well that he told the disciples, I go and ascend to the Father, but you wait in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And that word for power there talks about ability. And so we do need his gifting in order to do the work we've been called to do. We're to work willingly, knowing who has called us and who is with us as we serve. And so we get an idea of some of the kinds of jobs that some get. This is not a total list, but in verse 11, there's apostles and prophets, evangelists, and pastor teachers. That last one really is one person described as pastor teacher. And you may ask about apostles. Well, first of all, we have apostles still the original with us in Scripture, and they're still our apostles teaching us. But an apostle being a delegate, the word would talk about someone sent out to be a delegate or an ambassador. I'd say that's a good comparison to missionaries. Missionaries, people who go out and reach out to others and evangelize. But without going into all the details here, this is just some things. And many times people shrink back and say, oh, well, I'm not a pastor, I'm not a missionary, I'm not an evangelist, so I'm off the hook. And we don't have a very good vision there, because the reason he gave us those kind of people, verse 12 says, the perfecting of the saints, the work of the ministry, the edifying of the body of Christ. Edify, like edifice, is a building. Edify means to build up. And we're told later on in this great chapter that we are to edify one another in love. Edify one another in love. That's in verse 16, if you're wondering. So we have a goal. The body of Christ is to be well and watchful. Verse 13, so we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect or complete man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So after the message of come to Christ to be saved, it's now come and seek His Spirit and grow up. Grow up. Personal growth and promoting growth in others. We're to edify each other. Build each other up. It's not just a few people's jobs. It's all of our jobs to make sure we are growing and that others around us are growing. That's what a church is really all about. And then we can finally get to that great commission. The job He gave us to do as a unified one. You know, we're having a business meeting on Thursday, and some people right away say, oh, not for me. I guess there's no Bible study this week. Well, it won't be a normal Bible study, that's for sure, but it is a study. Because we need to be concerned what Jesus Christ is doing with His church. You see, if I make an appeal for you to join a church or volunteer for things, I'm not asking you to serve me. I'm telling you Christ is calling us to serve Him. And this isn't my church. This is His church. If you live in this area and if you attend this church, I hope you understand that this is your church that Christ gave you. And He who calls us, He who gifts us, has a goal. That we grow up and that we make sure others around us are healthy and growing, so that we as a unified body can be a healthy, functioning church with a ministry. Oh, ministry. It isn't always getting up here and teaching from the pulpit. Sometimes it's making sure the carpet's okay, or if the water pump doesn't work, it gets looked after. Or sometimes it's a matter of making sure that we're financially accountable to everyone so that we can present our books well. And there's outreach of all kinds. Checking up on sick folks. You know, it isn't just all pastor's job to go and make all the visits. And so I'm making an appeal. And I'm not trying to cut on my dear brother's time, but since that big meeting's coming up, I want you to know some things that I plan to talk about when I give my report. And historically speaking, I know that most of you won't be there, unless you make the choice to today. But all the things I'd love to pour out my heart, I'll pour them out, and most people won't hear except the advisory board and their spouses and maybe a few others. And I'd like to see something different happen. Where we get a vision of Christ leading His church. We have some board members who've been serving the same position for 10 or 12 years. We have some board members who have served two positions at a time because there wasn't enough people to go around. And you know, one of the worst problems of getting volunteers into a church is that when some people volunteer, they're abandoned and they burn out and they never want to do it again. And when other people see they never want to do it again, they say, that's pretty terrible. I never wanted to do it in the first place. But it's almost a self-fulfilled prophecy. We thought it was something that we couldn't do or shouldn't do or won't do. And sure enough, we get our suspicions confirmed by watching the fallout when other people are overworked. It reminds me of the story of a sultan who had a beautiful daughter, and he lined up all these men who wanted to marry his daughter and be a prince. And he lined them all up along a great big pool that was filled with sharks. And he said, whichever one of you loves my daughter and wants to be her husband and be the prince, you swim across this water. And people are looking around. There's a little hesitation. All of a sudden, a big splash. And a guy swims like crazy. And he gets up on the other side and pulls himself up. And the sultan's delighted. And he says, oh, how you must love my daughter. He says, I don't know about that, but I want to kill the guy that pushed me in. So when they're looking for a volunteer and everybody but one takes a big step backwards, and that person standing there goes, huh? No. We don't want that to be the idea of jumping into the Lord's work here. We want so many people wanting to do the job that we'll have to have assistance to them, cross-training and just different things going on. I can't tell you enough that I am in ministry for very selfish reasons. And it's not because I've become a wealthy man being a pastor. It's because I have had some of the greatest experiences with God, His Word, and with people because I was in ministry. And I'm just selfish for that. I love it. But I'm willing to share because there's plenty to go around. The satisfaction, the joy, the sense of purpose. And God gets close to those who want to serve in His name. And He'll never leave any of us or forsake us. Amen? But you can be as close to God as you want to be. It isn't just a privileged few who are pastors and missionaries and so forth. So I'm ending my little commentary here. That's the shortest you've heard me talk in a while. But I want you to have a pleasure with me. Every time Paul Daniel's in the area, I always face the same dilemma. So many people want him to speak that every Sunday's booked and we get him for a midweek service. And we've always had a nice little group. But here is a chance. There was a cancellation, and here's a chance that he can be at our Sunday morning service. So many more of you get to meet a wonderful friend I have in the ministry, and I spent hours with him talking and praying, and I really appreciate his heart. And he has things to tell us about what's going on in India, and he has things to tell us what's going on in the Word of God this morning. And just so you know, we're going to have a special love offering for Brother Paul and for his work. And at the end of the service, we're going to have a man out back holding a plate that will be specifically for Paul Daniel. Some of you may have come to church today, and this isn't your church, but you came just because he's going to be here. We put it in the radio so folks could know. And we want you to know every bit of that, what's given in that plate, will go to Paul Daniel. And so having said that, Brother Paul Daniel, would you come and minister to us? And thank God for you.
I bring greetings from India, from my family, from the churches to you all this morning. And I talked to them about you in the past. And they said, just give our love to the church and ask them to pray for us more as we do for them here. So now my job is two categories are there. For the first 1 hour, I'm going to share my testimony. And the next 1 hour, I'm going to share from the Word of the Lord. That's how it goes in India. So if you are not going to preach for 1 hour and 30 minutes, you won't be considered as a good preacher in India. So now, thank you very much, Pastor, for your prayers and for your supporting hand and for considering me as a minister and opening the pulpit for me this morning so that I can share my heart and burden and my work to all the God's people here. And I was born and brought up in India. I live in India. Every other year, 2 years, I come here. Every other year, once in 2 years, I come here. I come here for 3 months, and usually people ask me to come in the month of August, and I have to stay from August to the beginning of December. And you all know, we are not used to this cold. When I tell my people about the cold, about the snow, they ask me why. I said they have done something wrong. That's why God is punishing them. But even to, till now, it's very, very hard for me to explain them what it is to confront a skunk. Nobody knows what a skunk looks like, or, you know, how, what a kind of nice fragrance it has. Nobody knows in India. You know, we are blessed to not to have that one. So India is, as you know, a big country which has more than 1 billion people now. Every day we are growing. And also we have about 330 million gods all over India. 330 million gods and goddesses. Nobody knows their name, but that's what they believe. And they have prime gods and assistant gods and the coordinating gods, so many gods. And it's very hard for me to go and share Christ with them, because the moment you say about Christ, they say, yeah, he is God. So you ask them, can I pray for you? They say, yes. It doesn't mean they are accepting Jesus in their heart. They think Jesus is also one among the multitude of gods. So we always depend upon the Holy Spirit to convince their hearts and bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Before I go into my ministry, I would like to share how the Lord brought me to Him and to the ministry. Till my 22nd year, I did not know about Christ. I was born in a Lutheran family. And my mother never went to any church. But we were good people. We used to go to church on Christmas, New Year, and Easter. We were there for 3 days, at least 3 days a year. So I call myself, we are better than my mother. Okay. Now, one day my mother had a problem with her health. She had a miscarriage. And because of that, she started to bleed. And it was exactly like what we read in the Bible about the woman who was suffering from the issue of blood for 12 years. And day after day, I was seeing with my own eyes the suffering of my mother, 1 week, 2 weeks, and she was getting pale. And finally, she said, take me to your hospital. So my father was not there, and I had to lift her up in my arms, and I put her in the horse cart, and they took her to the hospital. This happened about 44 years back. And when we took her to the hospital, the doctor said it's too late because we suspect that cancerous cells have spread all over her womb. Even though we can still do a surgery, but in spite of that, your mother's survival is 5%. What do you say? I asked my mom, what do you say? She said, take me home. I again brought her home, and she was on the mat, and the same thing happening. Finally, one day, she told me, take me to a church. And I said, church? I never seen you going to any church. But do you want me to take you to a church? Yes. So I studied in a Catholic school, and we had a church there. And I said, I'd be happy to take you to the Catholic church. And my mother said, no. I don't want you to take there. There are some people, they preach about Christ on the street, and they believe that God can save people. So I want to go to that church. I said, no. Actually, I'm planning to stone them. They are bad people. How can they walk on the street and tell people that all the people in the world are sinners? What right they have got to do that? So I was so stubborn, my father was still away. So I told my mom, I'm not going to take you to the church, that particular church. So during the time, I was a chain smoker, smoking 40 to 50 cigarettes a day, even when I was 22, drinking all kinds of liquor, day and night gambling, and my whole life was in chaos. So I went to a nightclub to play gamble. And my mother was taken by a neighbor, Hindu neighbor, to this church. And this man came, and you know, she held my mom and took her to the office of the pastor and put her by the side of the office. The pastor was still in the office. And he came out, and he heard somebody coming, and he came out, And there my mother was on the floor. And he said there, what's the problem with you? And she said, I'm suffering from this kind of problem. So, could you please kneel down? She said, no. Then he said, kneel down. It was harsh. And she had to kneel down and she tried to hold the wall and she was beginning to stay on her knees, but the pastor just prayed for her on the head and she fell down. She was unconscious. I don't know how much time was there, how many minutes she was there unconscious. And after that she woke up and she felt the difference in her body. She went to the bathroom and she was totally, instantaneously healed. She could not believe that. She came to the pastor jumping and she was not conscious of that she was walking. She was walking, she went to the pastor's room and the pastor was looking up and down and he said, what happened? Pastor, I am totally healed. Can I have a Bible? So the pastor gave a Bible to her. And the next day I was brushing my teeth on the street. That's India. You can brush your teeth on the street, on the highway, anywhere you want. So here a boy comes and says, your mother is coming home walking. I said, I'm going to slap you. How can my mother walk? But out of curiosity, I went to the road, main road, and I looked, and my mother was coming with the Bible. What happened, Mom? She never opened her mouth. She went to the house. She went to a corner and spread a reed mat and started to pray and praise the Lord. I was so surprised. I was so shocked. And I began to think that there is a God, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. But I will tell it to my mom. So day after day, I was going bad, and I used to borrow money like 100 rupees one evening, and the next morning I had to give 110 rupees just for 12 hours, 10% interest. My father was, I should say, was well off. He had servants, he had silver things, he had all kind of facilities. Without his knowledge, I'll take all the silver items and sell them and play gambling and lose them. Now one day I was coming home from gambling and my mother came to the road and she came and reached to my shoulder and said, son, you are in a trouble. I said, what kind of trouble? I have a little pain in my stomach. And she said, come home, I'll tell you. She brought me into the house and she sat by my side and she said, I'm going to ask you a few things, but do not question me, do not interrupt me. All that you have to say is yes or no. Okay, Mom, did you on this particular day went to this house? How do you know? No questioning. Just say yes or no. Yes. And this particular person, did she give all these things to you to eat? Yes. Was there this a side dish? Yes. And is this a person? Yes. Then she said, when I was praying, the Lord said, your son is in trouble. And they have done witchcraft against him. I do not know how many of you believe in witchcraft. I never believed in witchcraft. Never. But now I believe. I don't believe in witchcraft. I know that people do witchcraft, and I'm going to explain that also to you. I said, okay, Mom, what you say is right. Just pray for my stomach. It's getting worse. The pain is worse. She said, it's because of the witchcraft. And I said, okay, Mom, I'll come to the Lord Jesus Christ when I am 30 because I want to follow Jesus Christ. He was baptized when he was 30. So I will also have my baptism when I am 30. She said, it's up to you to decide. Day after day, the pain was increasing. I used to shout and scream and roll on the floor. And I cannot explain all the things that happened. After 1 week, I was on my reed mat, facing upward, and trying to sleep. Sleepless days, sleepless nights. Now I am about to sleep, then I felt somebody moving in the room. It's not a story I'm trying to, I never believed in all these experiences. I opened my eyes widely and said, I am not going to yield, whatever it might be, I am not going to yield to this. My mom needs this, I don't need this at this age. As I was just saying that, I, without my knowledge, I threw myself on my knees and started to pray for mercy. I did not know how to pray. I said, just like that it came, God, I have sinned against you. My mother came and said, son, don't cry, don't cry. The neighbors will think something different because our houses are not like this. It will be about 2 feet, 3 feet apart. So you cannot even talk to your wife like this. You have to be very, very silent. Otherwise they will know. So I said, Mom, I cannot keep quiet because I have sinned against you. I have sinned against Dad. I have sinned against God. About 1 hour and 30 minutes, I started to cry with my tears. It's not just like, God, I know. You are my Savior. You are my Savior. Come into my heart. Come into my heart. Nobody can do that. Just like that. And after that, I felt a peace of mind. I totally forgot about this part. I was thinking about this part. And the total peace came here. Then my mom said, son, push your stomach. I hit it hard. I did it. No pain was there. Nothing was there. I was okay. Then the Lord said me, and I was praying there. My two sisters were about 4 feet away from me, and they were talking so bad about me. They said, he's a gambler, he's a this, he is that, he needs this experience. We are nice girls, we don't need this. So later on, they told me this. So I prayed, my mom was praying with me, and that's maybe about 5-6 minutes after that, I heard somebody sobbing. I turned to my left. There, my two sisters were on the knees, crying for mercy from God. It was just like that during that time. And my house became a house of salvation, I should say. Amen. My mother used to preach. Every day she used to preach to people about Christ. Every day, you won't believe that. That zeal, that fire she had. She would bring the people to the house. I mean, evil spirit possessed people, people who did not have peace of mind. Almost every day we had people. All the people who came to the church, they came to the church through the house of my mother. She brought all the people to the church. So when this was happening, the Lord was calling me for his ministry. And I said, Lord, my father is in the hospital because his leg is about to be amputated because he had a kind of a poisonous thorn pricked into his foot. And he had a gangrene, and now they are about to cut up his leg, and there is no breadwinner in India. You have to pay a huge dowry to the girls to get married. So I said, Lord, being the older boy in the house, I have to take care of my three sisters. So I will come and sit at a meeting like this, and the pastor will come to the pulpit, and he will say, seek ye the kingdom of God first, and all these things shall be added to you. I will say, no, this is not the right place for me. I'll go to some other place. Somebody will be speaking with the same context. So finally I said, I have to do something. One night the church was a little smaller than this, where I was attending. The pastor was gone for some place, and I was sleeping on the veranda there. And at about 12 o'clock, I heard an audible voice. And the audible voice said, whom shall I send? Who will go for me? I did not know it was in the Bible, because my pastor warned me that I should not read the Old Testament. Being a beginner, I should read the New Testament first. So the next morning when pastor came, I told him, pastor, this is what I heard. And he said, okay. What is okay? You never open your mouth. I come and share my dream. I come and share my vision. I come and share this. And he said, okay, what is this? Please tell me. He said, the Lord may be calling you for his ministry. And then finally I gave my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Then I gave my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. My father's leg was amputated. And my sisters, I mean, there was no one to provide food for them. The moment I stood up in the church and I said, to, from today onwards, I'm going to step up for the full-time ministry of the Lord opened his ways. My father got healed. He started to practice. And my sisters got jobs. And the Lord started to bless. That's a big story if I go into details. So when I came to the ministry, the people, neighbors did not like that. So one day a small stone fell in the house. I said, what is this? We had a cousin by name Mary. She was 8 years old. I said, Mary, why do you throw the stone? I didn't do that, brother. Another stone. What is this? Another stone. Another stone. Another stone. This big. From morning till night, I used to collect. We had a basket this week, maybe 3/4 of the basket. Throw it away. The next day, throw it away. 1 week, 10 days. Every day. This is not a story. I already told you I never believed in such things. Now with my own eyes I'm seeing, I'm picking up the stones and throwing them. One day the sound was different. I turned, and on the top of the wardrobe there was a brick. And we had chicken one day, and my cousin, another cousin, took all the leftovers, the bones, and she started to throw it in a municipality trash bin, and she threw it, turned, a packet fell in the house. We opened it. All the bones were neatly arranged. It fell. I'm not going to tell all the other things, what all happened during that time. If I tell it, you won't leave the church. Amen. I have seen with my own eyes. But we prayed, and I asked the Lord, what is this? And in my heart, I felt somebody speaking. I didn't hear an audible voice. And I heard that you have to see that the devil is powerful. I was shocked. What, Lord? And he said, you have to experience that the devil is powerful. Then I said, what about you? And you are going to experience that I am all powerful. So one day it stopped. A witch doctor who lived about 3 houses from my house was on the floor, and he was almost begging for mercy. And he was beaten, and he did not know how he was beaten. So that's how I stepped out from ministry. The Lord called me for the village work, and I started to travel from village to village. And I started conducting meetings for 3 days, 4 days. And by doing this, I was able to see some souls coming to the Lord. And finally, my pastor and everybody said, what is the use of traveling and preaching to the people and bringing them to the Lord? You have to, bring them to the growth of the Lord, so you have to start churches. So I prayed to the Lord, and the Lord opened the door. We started the first church in a leper's house. He was the one member among the 3 members. Then we moved to a place and built a shed. And when we went one Sunday morning, we went there and we opened the cobra skin is hanging there. And then we had 10 people, 15, 20. Now we have almost 150 people in that village. And little by little, I started doing the work of the Lord in different villages. Right now the Lord blessed me with the 14 churches, small and, the biggest will be 150, and recently started one will have about 25 people. And the Lord also helped me when I have traveled here. Some people have been blessed me with funds. I'll go back and build a church. I'll go back, do something there, and the people are coming. And also, we train up the little children, Hindu children, to memorize the Bible verses. Now we have in our churches few Hindu children who can quote out of memory 600 Bible verses. 600. And also, I have a project for the widows there in India. And I have picked up certain widows there. And when I talk about widows, and you may... I think brother being to India, he may be knowing about the condition of the widows. If the mom and dad have some money, they are treated like kings and queens. If they don't have, sometimes I have heard people say, you old lady, why do you waste your time and waste our money here? Go to your brother's house or somewhere and live. So we picked up those and we started providing them food every day, lunch. Every day they come to the church and get some good lunch with meat. And then we picked out about few more widows, and we send them money on monthly basis. And every Christmas we buy saris for them. Recently I bought pillows and mats for them. And this is one of the part of my ministry that I go to Bible schools also, and I share in the Bible schools. And the Lord has been so good in blessing us to see the souls coming to the cross. And then now I'm briefing my testimony. Now the thing we face in India is the present government. We had them about 10 years back. We had tough time. Now they are in power. They are Hindu people. They call, Christians in India call them fanatic Hindus. They are saying that there are 3,000 churches and mosques which belong to the Hindus, and they are going to take them over and destroy them and build temples there. And right now in the North India, few pastors are being killed, not in our place, North India, few pastors are being killed and a few churches have been destroyed. And it is starting. They are in power for the past 5 months. They are going to be there for the next 5 years. And just before I left for America, a friend of mine called me and he said, I am in the police station. For what? I had few people come to my house and we had a prayer. Then the neighbor complained about it to the police, and now I am in the police station. So I called some of the people I know there, and they said they have higher pressure from the government, so it's hard for this boy to come out. So what do they expect from him? He has to write a letter that he will not allow anybody to come into the house for prayer. He had to write it. I was not there, otherwise I could have gone to some other place and helped him. And he had to write down and give the letter to the police officer and come out. So this is what happening. And I would appreciate you if you continue to pray for me, for the souls of whatever happens. You know, we cannot stop persecution. We cannot stop all that. But God to give us strength to go through it so that we can bring souls to the cross. And when God, Jesus comes, we can take them to there. Praise the Lord. And I still have about 14 minutes and 20 seconds. When Pastor was sharing something from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 touched my heart. You will see two kinds of walking there. The first verse speaks of a walk, and the 17th verse speaks of a walk. So when I was looking it closely, something came to my mind, and I'm going to share about this with you. The first walk is a different one than the second walk. The walk about which we read in verse 1, walk worthy of the vocation or call, is different from do not walk as the Gentiles walk. One is walking in, one is walking out. But if you read it carefully, and the first verse, second verse, third verse, and go down and go down, go down, and it says God gave gifts from there, from above, to where? To the church. So what is their job? Their job is to bring the church into the maturity of Christ. In other words, walk worthy of this call means you walk, I walk into the church. When I walk into the church, then after that I have to walk into the world. So there are two kinds of walking in this chapter. One, walking into the presence of the Lord. Number two, walking out of the presence of the Lord into the world. So what is happening in the church? The church is the most precious thing in the eyes of the Lord. So what is happening in the church? I preach, someone preaches, evangelistic message, teaching, preaching, different things. But I want to take you to the Old Testament and then take you to the New Testament. Please turn with me to the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 1:5. Deuteronomy chapter 1:5. I thank God that your English Bible is not going to be in heaven. I thank him so much. Chapter 6, please. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Verse 5. Please follow me carefully for the next 10 minutes. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, number one. With all thy soul, number two. With all thy might or strength, number three. Now you can look at Paul Daniel because he is going to be here only for the next 1 hour. Three things are there. What are they? Love your God. How can I love God? With all your, can you say, heart, number one. Number two, soul. Number three, but something is missing there. Something is missing there. Please turn with me to Mark's Gospel, chapter 12, verse 30. Mark 12, 30. My Bible is in Tamil, and it's a heavenly language. We only have 247 alphabets. It's an easy language to learn. Okay, now Mark 12, verse 30. Let me read it for you. And thou shalt love thy God, the Lord thy God, with all thy... Can you count it, please? I will read heart, and you say one, please. With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your four is here and three is there. Could anyone tell me what is missing there? Mind. The Old Testament, the people did not know the mind of God. They were guided. They were guided. When the pillar goes, they have to go. When the preacher preaches, they have to follow. But in the New Testament, because Jesus Christ was presented to the people of Israel in shadows. But in the New Testament, he himself comes and says, in the Old Testament, you have heard, you have to love your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. But now I have come here to say one more thing, with all your mind. Lord, how can I love the Father God with all my mind? Because I am the mind of God. Jesus Christ is the mind of God. He came to the world just to show us what it would be to walk through the mind of God. When a person has Jesus in him, he has the mind of God. Then he begins to love God with all his mind. I'll go run quickly and show you three more verses. So this is, I have to keep in my mind. With all your mind, with all your mind, with all your mind. What is the mind of God? What is the mind of God? If I am going to love my God with all my mind, I should have the mind of God in me. Without having the mind of God in me, I cannot have the mind of God exposed in me. I cannot do things according to the mind of God. So how can I have the mind of God? When Paul writes to the Philippians, chapter 2, verse 5, he says... Chapter 2, verse 5. You need not to open it. It will take 30 seconds. So now the mind of, let the mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. But this is the context. This is the context. This is the verse. But if you look into the context, it speaks about the cross. The cross enfolded with the humility and meekness. Humility and meekness are in the cross. But Jesus said, come unto me all that or heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said, then I am going to do one more thing. My yoke is not heavy. Learn of me, because in my school I will teach two subjects. One is humility, the other is meekness. That's all. So now I see the mind of the cross. I'm not going to explain it. Unless otherwise I go for a vote and ask you how many of would you like to preach me for 1 hour. And if I have a majority, I'll go. And if I have the majority, next time I will not be allowed to preach here. Now the second verse. So just focus this. The mind of Christ about the cross. The second mind is as spoken or written by Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse, the last verse. He says, God has prepared something for his people. I have not seen, ear has not heard, and it was not felt in their heart what God has prepared for them. But the Spirit of God who comes from God has revealed it to us. And how do we know that? Because we have the mind of Christ. So the first mind is the mind of the cross. The second mind, God has prepared something on the table. Nobody has seen that. Nobody has heard about it. Nobody has felt it. What is that? The table of the Lord is the communion of the Lord. In other words, I will go to the extent of saying the cup of the Lord. Number one, the mind of Christ shows us the cross. Number two, the mind of Christ shows us the cup. Finally, Peter says in his epistle, Epistle number 1, chapter 4, verse 1, he says, arm yourself with the same mind. Arm yourself with the same mind of Christ. Arm yourself means put on the armor. Put on the armor. We have a battle. So you have to put on the armor, which is the mind of the Lord, Jesus Christ. In otherwise, the Holy Spirit, by imparting the mind of Christ in us, takes us to the battlefield. Or, there is a crown. If I win the battle, I receive the crown. So, there are three things we read about the mind of Christ. Number one, when I have the mind of Christ, I go to the cross. Number two, when I have the mind of Christ, I go to the cup, fellowship of the saints. Number three, when I have the mind of Christ, I go to the battlefield. Cross, cup, and the crown. In other words, in order to receive this, I have to walk into the sanctuary of the Lord. Paul says, I know a person, he was in the third heaven. Where is the third heaven? He speaks about the vertical third heaven. But God has given us a horizontal third heaven. It's simple. The Old Testament, the sanctuary of the Lord. As you go, you come to the court. And you move further, you go to the holy place. And still further, you come to the Holy of Holies. What do I see in the court? I see the cross on the altar. What do I see? See in the holy place? I see the table of the Lord, the cup there. And what do I see in the most holy place? I see the crown of the Lord. Because when I enter into the court, the light I receive is from the altar. But as I move further and go into the holy place, the light I receive is no more from the altar, from the candlestick. If I move further and step into the most holy place, it's no more the altar light or the candlestick light. It is the Shekinah glory. As I begin to move in and in and in, as I take the cross, as I take the cup, as I take the crown, then write the ball, ten. Walk into the world. When I have the mind of Christ in these three areas, I will never, never walk according to this world. My walk is different from the walk of the world because the mind of Christ is in me. Could you all please turn to my right? Shepherd. Good shepherd, great shepherd, chief shepherd. Where do I see good shepherd? Good shepherd gives his life for his sheep on the cross. Where do I see the great shepherd? The great shepherd is interceding for me in the heavenlies. So I am standing by the cup. Where do I see the chief shepherd? The chief shepherd is going to come back to this world with the Peter says with the crown of glory, and I see. Hello, my good shepherd, please turn this side. Oh, he's having a cross in his hand. Hello, my great shepherd, my Lord, please look at my friends here. Oh, he's holding a cup in his hand. Ha-ha. Chief shepherd, he's holding a crown for me. So when I have this mind in me, let me finish it. I will walk into the sanctuary according to Ephesians 1:1, and I will walk into the world according to Ephesians 4:17. May the Lord God bless you. Am I a good boy?
Stay here, good boy. Well, you know, when they first said they'd preach an hour and a half over there, I thought, Lord, are you calling me to India? Brother Gurdon, would you come join me, please? And Gary, would you come join me? Good boys or bad, they need to be prayed for. And we want to make sure we do that right now.
Praise the Lord.
Okay, well. 1 hour too ain't bad. Oh dear. Unable?
I can get ready from there.
Well, we won't hear them though.
Oh,
here, huh?
Flip them over your shoulder. Thank you for being here with us. We touch my hand.
As long as you can touch heaven with your prayers, that's tall enough, Harry. Good, would you start us, please?
Heavenly Father, we're just so grateful to be in your house today. We thank you, Lord, for Pastor Daniel's being here. We thank you for our pastor. And Lord, we just lift up every one of these people today and ask you to pour our blessing on them. Let them take this message home, let them live it, and let them share it with their neighbors. And Lord, we thank you for each one that's here, and ask you to bless them on their way home and bring them back soon, Lord. And thank you for Pastor Daniels. Bring him back soon, Lord. Sit here and bask in his word. Thank you now, and we give you praise and glory.
Dear Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to gather in your house. We thank you for the freedom to be here. There's so many places in the world where you can't do this. And we really thank you for Pastor Paul Daniel, for his message. He touched my heart, Lord, and for Pastor on a continual basis for what he does. Bless these two preachers, Lord. They love you so much. They've committed their lives to serving you. Bless each of them, Lord, as we go on day in and day out trying to be what you want us to be, Lord. And a special blessing on Pastor Paul Daniel as he goes back to his country after he finishes in the United States, that he might be in your strength and your power for your glory, Lord. He doesn't want the glory. He's a humble man. But he knows your words. He's memorized it, and he understands what the Holy Spirit is saying through him, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you bless them both and help us as a church, Lord, that we might be strong in your word and in your glory, Lord, so that other people see something special in us. that we might go on to do what you want us to do here as he does throughout the world. In Jesus' name I pray, Lord, for your glory. Amen.
Our great Father, we thank you for your unspeakable gift of Jesus Christ, your Son. Thank you that he was willing to be the good shepherd and give his life for us, the great shepherd who continues to guide us and minister to us, the chief shepherd who will come again for us and reward us. And we thank you too, Lord, that whatever rewards we get, it's only because of Christ living in us that allow us to overcome self and this world and Satan. And we ask a special blessing on the work that's going on in India. The climate is changing to more persecution than before, Lord. And we pray that you'll encourage the believers. Give them great joy and strength in yourself so that their sense of joy and security is not found in their society, but in you, Lord. And we just pray, God, that you'll keep us mindful of what our brothers and sisters are going through, that we might bear these burdens with them, being members of the same body. We ask you now, Father, to continue to bless the travels of Brother Paul as he speaks to other churches. And we pray that you'll supply material needs as well as safety and as well as spiritual fruit, Lord. And may you guide each heart that's in this room today, that each one of us will certainly see ourselves following our great shepherd and looking forward to the chief shepherd coming. We ask it all for Christ's sake. Amen.